KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, we have a mostly sunny sky. It's 8 degrees above zero. We look forward to be partly cloudy today with a high of 20. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. A reminder, we do have a few school districts that are starting 2 hours late this morning. That includes Creston and Orient Maxburg. Riverside Schools, Trainer, and Tri-Center are all running 2 hours late. And in CAM, their buses are on the hard surfaces only. A jury has convicted a Council Bluffs man on charges related to the death of a 16-month-old girl, but acquitted him of murder. The jury on Friday found Javon Jennings guilty of involuntary manslaughter and child endangerment resulting in death, but not of murder. Jennings was charged in the death of 16-month-old Jaslyn Harshberger, who died last April of blunt force trauma after suffering from numerous injuries. Jennings now faces up to 55 years in prison with no minimum time to be served before he's eligible for parole. His attorneys say they expect to appeal. The leader of the Iowa Department of Education has been getting a lot of calls and questions as the number of school days canceled by winter weather continues to mount. Director Ryan Weiss said making up the days depends on whether school districts set their yearly calendar based on a set number of hours or a set number of days.
If schools have a days calendar, they have to have at least 180 school days of instruction. If they choose a calendar based on instructional hours, they need to have 1,080 hours of instruction over the course of the year.
School districts had to tack missed days onto the end of the school year or cut short spring break to make up missed days. The hour option was added with a change in a state law in 2014. Weiss says it's become a calendar of choice.
I believe about 95% of districts have an hours calendar. And so that allows them the flexibility to do creative things like add additional minutes on at the end of the day. So they would lengthen their school day for a set period of time for the remainder of the year.
Schools that use the 180-day calendar need to have students in class for a minimum number of hours to qualify as a day.
6 hours of instruction meets the minimum requirement for a day of instruction toward the 180 days requirement. And schools are also allowed to use parent-teacher conferences count toward that time as well, toward the days of instruction.
The Department of Education doesn't keep a running total of school days, but Weiss says he's heard it ranges from more than 10 to less than 10. One of the questions he gets is if the Ed Department or the governor can waive the calendar requirement in years like this one.
There's no power granted to the governor or the department or the director to waive that requirement.
Each district makes its own decision on whether the weather is too bad to hold classes.
It is absolutely one of the toughest decisions that our superintendents have to make, and I don't envy them at all in having to make that call.
He says the superintendents do a good job of making those decisions based on what's best for the safety of the students and school employees. Weiss says the number of school days this year varies widely across the state.
I've heard in some places 10-plus days have been missed, and in others, it's been less than that.
Well, speaking of schools, the Griswold School Board meeting this evening begins with a public hearing on the 2019-2020 school year calendar. Afterward, the board will take care of administrative matters and move on to new business, which includes, but is not limited to, discussion and possible acceptance of the Lewis Elementary School purchase price. You may recall last month the board heard two proposals for the school and elected to move forward with a proposal and the purchase price of $40,000 from Chris Jonke with 3HO LLC here in Atlantic. In other business, the Griswold School Board will act on approving the 2019-2020 calendar and approval of bids for chemical application, mowing, and the auditor. The board will move into a closed session then for collective bargaining strategy discussions prior to adjournment. The Griswold School Board meeting gets underway at 5:30 in the central office at the middle school high school building. The Exira EHK School Board will meet at 6 this evening in the conference room at the Elkhorn Building. At 6 p.m., the Exira EHK Education Association will present its initial contract proposal between the association and the school board for the 2019-2020 school year. Immediately afterward, a closed session will be held for the purpose of negotiations and strategy planning. Afterward, the Board of Education will present in an open session its initial contract proposal for the coming school year. And during their regular session, the board will hold a public hearing on the 2019-2020 school calendar. New business for Exira EHK Board includes discussion and action on approving the 2019-2020 calendar, as well as approval of personnel hires, transfers, resignations, and so on. The board will also discuss and or act on various board policies. Audubon School District Superintendent Brett Gibbs reports two public hearings are set to take place this evening at the start of the regular Audubon School Board meeting. During their 7 p.m. session in the high school boardroom, hearings will be held with regard to the sale of school property, a small parcel, and the fiscal year 2019-2020 school calendar. In other business, the Audubon School Board is expected to act on the sale of school land, the school calendar for the next year, a bargaining group for FY 2020, setting the date and time for public bargaining meetings, approving a Spanish teacher from Spain applications, approval of EMC loan agency three-year rotation, and various personnel matters. The board will then discuss staffing options and receive regular reports from the superintendent and district principals. Elsewhere in the news, an Omaha man has been sentenced to more than 8 years in federal prison for wielding a gun during a bank robbery. Federal prosecutors for Nebraska say 38-year-old Thomas Woodard was sentenced Friday in U.S. District Court in Omaha to 100 months in prison. He was also ordered to pay more than $27,000 in restitution. Prosecutors say that on December 7, 2012, Woodard, and another man robbed the Sac Federal Credit Union in Plattsmouth, Nebraska. Woodard and co-defendant Joseph Lankwright were arrested 4 hours later in Sioux City. The pair is suspected of committing a robbery in that city in 2014. California Democrat Congressman Eric Swalwell met with a group of Democratic Party activists at the home of Cass County Democratic Party Chair Sherry Telly on Sunday. Swalwell was raised in Sac City until the age of six. His family moved to Oregon before settling in California. Telly says that his basic life philosophy was formed in his youth when his father was a police chief. Swalwell, who is considering a run for the presidency, spoke of his priorities, education, infrastructure, health care, jobs and the economy, and gun violence, saying that we should have background checks for all guns. We need to invest in mental health care so people are not jailed instead of receiving a treatment. He said he cited a recent incident in California where a man was having a heart attack and the theater emptied out because people thought a shooting was occurring. Swalwell says there is a state of fear in this country. Swalwell stated that a top priority is creating new jobs and connecting the disconnected. So many people feel disconnected, he said, from opportunities. America needs a leader who can connect them, adding that he's familiar with the everyday struggles of families. He was the first in his family to go to college, and he and his wife have two young children and nearly $100,000 in student debt. He proposes a variety of initiatives to create more jobs, including workforce training, infrastructure investment, and tax changes to boost growth in low-income communities. Swalwell has served in the U.S. House of Representatives since 2013 and is currently a member of the House Judiciary and Senate Intelligence Committees. His mantra is go big, be bold, and do good. Democratic presidential candidate Amy Klobuchar hit the Iowa campaign trail this past weekend.
It is wonderful to be back in Mason City.
Klobuchar kicked off her campaign for the White House 8 days ago with an outdoor speech in her home state of Minnesota during a snowstorm. Sunday afternoon, she met with Iowans in Knoxville and Albia, promising to bring Midwest pragmatism to the Oval Office if she's the next president.
When you drive through this snowstorm in Iowa today, you think about all the people for so many years that worked hard to make a living and continue to work hard to make a living. And one of the things that I have done in Minnesota, because we've got a metropolitan area and rural, is try to bridge that divide.
Klobuchar calls her approach heartland economics.
Making sure we make the case that one size doesn't fit all, that you've got special needs for rural hospitals, that you've got special needs for how we run our schools and other things. But it's also about governing from the heart. And that means everyone, you got to have everyone's backs and take on some of these special interests, whether it's healthcare or whether it's the tech companies.
John Delaney, a former Maryland congressman who's been running for governor since 2017, campaigned in Iowa this weekend as well, as did a couple of other Democrats who say they are considering a run for the White House. That's a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.